Greetings. I am Shisada Akona Kamada, and welcome to Satsang with the Shambhala Center. You are beginningless. You are endless. You are divine. Good evening. This is Josiah Kono Kamada. Thank you for tuning in to Satsang with the Shambhala Center. I'm joined by PLAN again tonight, and we're thrilled to have you with us. We won't waste any time here. We're going to get started. Go ahead, take a nice deep breath. Get yourself centered. Call yourself forward. Mother, Father, God, that I am, through the Great Central Sun Hierarchy, through the Office of the Christ, through the order of Melchizedek, I call upon Archangel Michael to bring the sapphire blue ray. Cut away, cut away, cut away anything in all of our four lower vehicles not emanating directly from our I Am presence. I now call on Archangel Zachiel, keeper of the violet flame. Blaze, blaze, blaze the violet flame through all of our four lower bodies. Transmute, transmute, transmute all the psychic debris Michael has cut free. I now bring forth the invincible ring pass knot and the mirror blue light of invisibility to completely surround each of us. And I call forth a shaft of pure Christ light to surround each of us. And I ask that these tubes of light be brought to the center of the earth, where I call on Archangel Gabriel to seal them. And I ask that the legions of Michael completely surround each tube of light. And now I ask that our vibrations be raised high above the psychic and astral worlds to the highest realm of illumined truth we each can attain at this time. Now, Mother, Father, God, we place ourselves in service to you and to humanity. PLAN and I place ourselves in service to all of you listening to the program. We ask that only that which is direct from you be permitted into our perceptions, and that all else of the lower mind be kept out. And we ask that only that which is direct from you be permitted through us. Because we have asked this, we consider it so. So be it. I'm going to ask you to just hold that for a moment. Good. Another deep breath and come on back to me. All right. So there's a lot going on and a lot to talk about. PLAN, do you have a sense of where you really think we need to start tonight?
Do you want to just quickly go back to our broadcast 2 weeks ago, just to revisit that one thing, and then we can just go from there.
Okay, that sounds great.
Okay, so what we were discussing 2 weeks ago was how everyone is your mirror. What you see in your outside world is what is basically reflecting from what's going on inside. And
why? Why? This is key. Why?
Well, because you project it out.
Okay, why?
Well, because it's a subconscious belief, and it needs to be recognized. So what you don't want to see, you create a judgment of others and put it out there to make yourself seem better.
Absolutely. And while we're on the topic, what's the easiest way for people, especially when they're fairly new to the work, to recognize when that kind of projection is taking place? If I asked you that.
It's a judgment. Whenever you have a judgment.
Okay, so let's say that the judgment is very subtle. Okay. And easily justifiable, which can hide it from you. In that case, do you have a sense of what you would look for that would be the, the big blinking red light that's saying, here it is?
Well, let's see, what would be a subtle judgment?
Because remember, the judgment doesn't have to have a cognized thought behind it. It comes from thought, right? And then something gets attached to it, and then that's what brings the judgment. That's what brings the projection. There's something that happens in there.
Well, when I notice judgment, I notice this feeling of, I don't know, I can only see my face. I don't know what to call it. But like, when there's like this,
the feeling of scrunchy face.
Where it's just like a...
That's excellent. So what does that show you? What's attached to the scrunchy face?
Dislike, disgust sometimes, you know?
Okay, and those are...
What do you mean, like negative states of emotion? Is that where you're going
good,
with
good,
that?
Good, 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 good. Oh, emotion, okay. Okay. So it's the emotion that actually shows the projection. Do you see it?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Very good. That's very good, because everyone needs to see this, that it's a dead giveaway. If you are in an experience and you are experiencing emotion, right? It means that projection has taken place, and it's like, that is the giveaway. If you can look at something from a very clear place, there's no emotion attached to it. Okay. So let's remember this. The divine is an emotionless state, right? Because you are it. You don't feel it. You are it. So there's no emotion there. Does that make sense?
Yes.
You are love. You aren't feeling love. You are love in motion, right? In action. Okay, good. So when you are experiencing emotion, now we know that you are swimming around in the realm of the personal self. And so when that emotion happens, that projection has to take place. And now you've got judgment that sits and all the other stuff. Okay. So that I did want to bring that forward tonight, and I had it in my notes, and you gave me the perfect the perfect time to address it. So thank you for that. Okay, so now finish with your question.
Okay. So one thing that you were saying, which I said I know people are going to be thinking this. So if what you were saying is that everything that you see, you need to stop, take a look at it, because it's something that you need to see. But then what I was asking was that there's times where a person may quote unquote need to be put in their place.
Yes.
That there's a disrespect. Even I was saying Yogananda talks about in his book about how there's a saint that actually took vengeance on someone that tried to deceive him earlier on. So my thing was, how do you know the difference between when something is your mirror and needs to be looked at, and when you really do need to put someone in their place?
Good. And we just answered it. So what's the answer to the question?
No emotion attached.
It's the emotion. That's right. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's the emotion. The emotion shows that it's the personal self that is engaged in that story. All right. So in the example of the saint who, you know, if that's how Yogananda worded it, that he took vengeance on someone, it wasn't vengeance from a personal place. Okay. It was because in that moment, the saint coming, it's not the saint, it's actually the eternal. And the eternal is showing through the act that has taken place, showing the individual what needs to be seen, right? So if someone has wronged you and you can see that they're functioning outside of, okay, so this is tricky, but let's understand this. Your morality is actually morality comes out of the divine. Okay, it's not man-made. And so true morality comes from that space. If you can stand in the space where you witness that someone has taken an immoral action, we'll use that term, then from a divine place, from a Christed place, you absolutely would put that person in their place, because that's what they need to see, that they're acting outside of what is divine, right? Because they're functioning from the lower mind, they're functioning from that personal self. And the personal self is seated in what? Domination, manipulation, and control. So that ego is taking steps to function from that place. So they've done something that we're going to, in this situation, call immoral. Now, from a personal place, maybe you take judgment on them because of all the things you've ever learned about what it is to be immoral. So let's say the person lied, right? And so you will take that. And of course, you have a whole huge story built on, you know, how it's wrong to lie and this and that. And maybe you even have a religious context that comes into play with it and all of that. That is personal, right? So you would feel the emotion attached to it because you would feel wronged. See what I'm saying? In the story of the saint wouldn't have felt wronged. The saint would have just witnessed that what took place was wrong. And now the saint has the opportunity and even the obligation to a certain degree to present what is right. And this is very tricky. And I remember I've told everybody, and will continue to over and over, how paradoxical this work is. Because on one level, there is no right and wrong. And you need to come to this space of equanimity where you see that everything is perfect. Okay. On another level, there absolutely is. There's right action. Right action is right action. Right. And so from that space, when you witness what's happening in the world, you can see things that are absolutely, they're just not okay. Right. And they're not, spirit wouldn't support that. Right. Like, hitting, you know, any kind of physical abuse is not okay. Universally, it is not okay. You know, as soon as it happens, you just wrapped karma all over it. Okay. And that's one of those things. And the interesting thing is that now we are, like, as a collective, seriously, seriously being called to start looking at these deeper issues. So, and before I say more to that, is there anything else about that you feel I need to address?
No, I think that was perfect.
Okay. So, probably the main thing I wanted to speak to tonight is just what's happening. So let me give you an idea of kind of what we're dealing with. There is, you know, people who would listen to this program and I'm sure would be drawn to it are interested in, you know, ascension, right? So ascension is certainly that moving up in a vibratory place. We can look at it as it's literally just vibration, right? As your consciousness raises, it's like a dimmer switch on a light bulb. You know, if the light bulb is turned way down, it's vibrating much less slowly, therefore creating less light. That's a lower vibration. It would be considered, you know, if you were to equate it, it would be like functioning from a lower level of consciousness. But when you crank that dimmer switch up, now that the filament there in that light bulb is vibrating super, super fast and now emitting more light. So we would equate that to higher levels of consciousness. It's a beautiful way to think of it, because it is vibration. It's just energetic, okay? So now is the time, more than any other time, where we truly are experiencing energetics planetarily, okay, happening within the solar system. If you look at the astrology right now, it's completely in support of what I'm going to say to you. And those of us who are sensitive to the energies will know this because you've been sitting in it and watching the energies move. But there's so much moving on a collective level. And it is to the point where everyone is, either directly or indirectly, is being almost forced to witness the very deep and very dark energies that are sitting underneath people's level of conscious awareness. All right. If I take that to back to the primal imprint that I've spoken about many times, what is it that happens, you know, in the moment where consciousness perceived itself to be outside or separate from the source or from the light or from God, however you want to term it, in that moment when consciousness fell because it identified itself as being separate, all of the negative states of mind came into being. They came into being in order, okay? And there is an order. And they came into being spiraling downward, and the lowest that it goes is death. And then the positive states of mind were actually born out of those negative states of mind because it was so painful where consciousness was sitting that it literally the lower mind created something to swing it out of sitting in that level of pain. Hope being a big part of that. Yeah. So what we're looking at now at a collective level are those very deep hidden areas, deep, deep pain, extremely deep levels of shame. Okay. Huge amounts of anger. I would even say rage that we're seeing coming forward. All right. In the outside world, we're going to witness it because what do we know? We know that in the inner world, the collective as a whole has not been willing to deal with these emotions. Okay. So if you think about your own experience, how many times have you been in pain and then you have taken action to get out of the pain rather than allowing yourself to really be in it and to experience it fully and to see what it was there to show you. All right. And everybody does that. So look at it on a collective level. We have, you know, 7 billion individuals walking around on the planet, all who have this pain that sits down there. Well, on a collective level, that's an enormous energetic load, right? And it's been pushed back and pushed back, you know, through collective denial and collective repression for millennia. So now what we're seeing is that we weren't collectively willing to do the inner work, right? Where do we now have to witness it? If it's going to come up, it has to come up in the outer world. And so that's why you see such horrendous things happening in the outer world. I was just talking to someone earlier who was had seen a video that came out of Serbia, I believe it was, very recently. And they had taken a group of Jews in Serbia and to execute them. And the clip actually showed all of the executions, you know, one by one, where they, you know, shot each individual in the head. And then after all of them, I think there were 7 of them, if I'm not mistaken, after all of them, you know, were executed, then the people who did the execution took their guns and just continually shot the dead bodies over and over and over and over. And it shows you this level of very just primal rage that's sitting there. I mean, you know, there's who on earth could get to a place where they would be that disturbed that they actually are taking pleasure out of that kind of violence, right? And that's what's going on there. They're not doing it because they hate shooting. They're doing it because they want to do that, right? Now, it's not them, because they're as divine as everybody else, but they are obviously in their state of complete amnesia and playing their role to show the collective what it is that needs to be cleared. And certainly, Serbia is not the only place in the world this kind of thing is happening either, right? We'd be remiss if we thought it was, you know, just like one location. So this is the funny thing, you know, we've had opportunity given to us to go in and to do our work. And for people who, you know, have been doing their work very steadily and have really pushed through a lot of the stuff that they had been in denial over, that they hadn't looked at, that they were in refusal to look at, they're going to find that moving forward, it's going to be an easier walk. And the people who have been in denial and have actively repressed all of that stuff, tried to blame it on other people, things like that, they're going to find their walk in the outer world a whole lot more difficult moving forward. And for the next couple months especially, the energies are going to be really, really tough. And I'm just saying that as a warning, not to scare anybody, but to prepare you, because the energies from an astrological level are going to be really tough. We've got a bunch of planets all in retrograde simultaneously, and there's a grand cross going on. There's like all kinds of stuff going on. So I've been witnessing what's happening on a collective level as far as the energy. And I had an opportunity recently to spend a little time just away from my day-to-day, which allowed me to just sit in contemplation and allow myself to look at what was going on. So I wrote a blog post today that I stuck up on our Facebook page, and I'm going to read it. If you want to go refer back to it, you certainly can at our Facebook page. It's facebook.com, the Shambhala Center. And I think we're going to put it on our blog on the big website too. But let me read it to you, because I think that this is an excellent message for the times we're in, and it's meant to be very serious, because this is very serious, what we're doing here. So sit back and have a listen. The energies are complex and extremely strong for the next couple months. Everything that needs to be transformed is coming up for everyone right now. Specifically, long-held pain within the male-female dynamic that surrounds the collective of women, their roles, subjugation, how they've been seen as inferior, even as property by men for the fulfilling of their own lower chakra primal needs. Think sexual gratification, procreation, and the creating and maintenance of that surrounds like the home and food. It's all coming up in a big way. The sacred essence of the female has not been honored, and that is no longer acceptable. Both males and females will feel this energy. Females need to step forward now into their authority and either cease the codependent relationships that they find themselves entangled in or demand immediate change in them. Males must look within and find where they haven't honored the women in their lives, where they saw them as a sexual tool rather than a sacred being, where they depended on women to do things for them to make life easier and were unwilling to take the responsibility upon themselves. Men have wielded their physical strength over women and have used it to dominate and control them. Women have remained too humble and have been afraid to speak the truth about what has been happening. A rebalancing needs to take place. Males need to find their humility, and females must find their strength. No one, and I mean no one, will be exempt from this huge shifting of energy. Remember, we are moving through the beginning of an enormous restructuring of the consciousness on the planet. How each person chooses to deal with what life brings them right now will do one of two things. Number one, the person remains in denial, chooses to hold the victim role, refuses to do the inner work necessary to launch the change which will move them out of the ego and into the heart. These people will live out the dissolution in the physical. They will lose jobs, lose marriages, have accidents, etc. They will watch their world fall apart from the outside because they refused to see how it was falling apart on the inside and to take action when they had the chance. Number two, the person accepts that they are living now in their past. The choices made in the past from the ego's need for domination, manipulation, and control set the energies for what they have called forward and are now experiencing. This person will witness that they have deep work to do in order to transcend the patterns that have allowed them to function from the ego and not the heart. It will be challenging, and it will test their mettle, but they will find the courage and dedication required to transcend what is happening in their world. Not by the ego's subtle tricks and schemes to manipulate situations and others to bend to its will, but by humility and acceptance that they have been focused only on themselves, locked in a world of pain and judgment, and it is time to end that cycle. Wherever you fit in, you will receive whatever you call forward. Your choices today will determine your future. Only you are responsible for what happens tomorrow, and don't forget that. All right. little serious, somber message from Shasada tonight. But this is the truth of the matter. There is an enormous restructuring starting. And, you know, everyone, you know, all of you who looked forward to 2012 and then the day after on December 22nd, who sat back and said, nothing happened, you were wrong. A lot happened. And we're seeing the results of what happened coming forward now. Okay? It was back in 2013 that this shift really did start. So from an astrological place, if it got tracked back through, I think it was through the moons, they could find where it actually kind of started. And it was in 2013. And now we're leading up into this huge energetic push for like just all of the garbage to fall away. So on this planet, think of it this way. All of you are interested in ascending, right? You have the understanding that ascension means that you literally are walking off the life-death cycle. It means that karma is no longer binding to you. That will be balanced, right? There will be no reason to return to third density, right? Your experience, your level of awareness after that shift occurs will be that of the illumined worlds, wherever it is that you last called home before you came here in service. In order for all that to happen, what is it that you think is going to happen? Do you think that this world is just one day going to be, you know, peachy keen? Everything's just going to be perfect? I mean, is that what's sitting in there? And why does it sit there? It sits there because everyone's afraid of what the alternative is. And that's what we're literally in the middle of. It has to, if it isn't supportive from the place of the divine, okay, it has to fall away. So as we look at, say, the banking system, obviously a very man-made, ego-centered system of control on the planet. It is not coming from the space of the heart. There's nothing within the banking system that is based in scarcity and lack that comes from the heart. How does a planet ascend and its humanity ascend to a higher level of resonance and still carry that forward? It can't. And remember what I've told you, there is a barrier between fallen consciousness, the fallen worlds, and the illumined worlds. It's there very specifically so that nothing could ever breach that gap that would contaminate the illumined worlds. So anything here that is not functioning from love in its truest sense has to fall away in order that it may be reformed and reformed from the divine. Okay, so let's look at that. What does that look like on this planet? What are we doing on this planet that is from the divine right now, collectively? Not a whole lot, right? I mean, just look at all the systems in your world and how many of those systems that you depend on every day are coming out of the space of the heart. I mean, I'm going to guess nothing for most people. Yeah. And it all has to change. And that doesn't look pretty, but it's necessary. And when you are capable of, now we'll go back to your question, you know, in your comment about Yogananda and the saint, you go back to the space that the saint was capable of holding. Would the saint experience changes like that as being, you know, catastrophically horrible in his life? Well, no. Because there's no personal attachment to any of it. And in order for you to transcend duality, any attachment you're holding in your world has to fall away. I mean all of it. What are you attached to now? You attached to your cell phone? Yeah. Attached to Facebook, addicted to Facebook. If I couldn't get on Facebook for a week, if I could have withdrawal symptoms, like, are you that person? Are you addicted to, you know, reality TV? Attached to your TV so much that, you know, you would spend $2,000 on a television set, but, you know, not buy healthy food for 6 months so you could afford the TV? What are you addicted to? What are you attached to? Are you attached to your children? Oh, that's a tough one. Think about this for a second with your children. Are they really your children? Who are those little creatures? If you look at it from the perspective, a greater perspective, you know, those are individual souls that have been running around in circles as long as you have. What would make them your children? They're certainly not any younger than you in the greater scheme of things. They've already been husbands and wives and daughters and sons and the whole gamut. But you're attached to them as your children, right? And then everything that means to you, everything that's collectively held about my children and how much I should love them and how much I should, you know, be devastated if something terrible in their life happens, like it's my responsibility as their mother to be emotionally pained when they are emotionally pained. Pielian's laughing over there. She's like, that's so not me. And not all of us carry that. You know, there are a lot of us who have always had this sense when we had our children that we're kind of there to, you know, kind of help them along the way because of the way this world is here, but they certainly aren't ours. They're not our property. And they aren't ours in the sense that, you know, that's my child and that's all that is. Heavens no. But that attachment will be challenged. I promise you that. How attached are you to a husband or a wife and what that means? You know, I mean, these are big questions. Really big questions. How attached are you to your career? You know, how you make your income. If you've gone to school and labored really hard to hold a certain kind of title, how attached are you to that title? And that is your identifier in life, you know. If you were a prominent doctor, would you be comfortable moving through the world with no one ever calling you doctor? Or does doctor mean something to you? Right. Or any of the titles that we carry. I laughed when it came to having to figure out for the Shambhala Center what you would call me. Which is insane. I mean, the idea of someone calling me Reverend just cracked me up. I'm supposed to have a title. What does that mean? It doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything. But in another sense, it does mean something. Again, there's the paradox, right? To me, it means nothing. To others, it should mean something. And that's something that we have to look at, too. This is a time when we are being called to truly begin to honor the things in this world that are worthy of honor, that most often have been overlooked. There are individuals on this planet who have worked selflessly for the planet itself, for humanity, for the raising of consciousness on the planet, and get no credit for it whatsoever. Now, do they care that they don't get credit? I doubt it. But that doesn't mean that the credit isn't deserved and that credit shouldn't be given. You understand what I'm saying? Pelion, you spoke to this earlier before the program. Do you want to say anything about that?
Trying to think where to start. I guess we'll start with the fact that I was doing some energetic work on you, and that I noticed what came in was this reverence that is now there, that's coming in for you, for the work that is being done, that people will see. Because before it was kind of a struggle to kind of get people to understand the importance, the value of this work. And what I saw was that there is this reverence coming through, where people will see the value, and have gratitude, like true gratitude for the work and for you also.
Right. And, you know, remember this, that it's not me, okay? It's the eternal. Mm. That's very important, okay? That it's not personal. So the reverence is there for the eternal, because it is the eternal that speaks through this form, and that can deliver a message in a way that can work its way into consciousness. Okay, that's the eternal. It's not me. So that's fine, right? Certainly anyone in my position is not out looking for that. It just does not work that way. But there is, it's like if I look at how I view my guide, I have a reverence for her that is absolutely sacred. I mean, absolutely sacred. The same way that I would view my experience with Sananda, you know, with Jesus, or, you know, in my own lineage, Sanat Kamata. I mean, there's a reverence there because it is so honored. It is so sacred, that it is not something to be taken lightly. And collectively, yes, we will have to move into the space where we recognize those who are holding that level of energy, because that's what it is. It's an energy that we're capable of carrying, right? And then we're capable of moving that out to groups of people. It's an amazing gift, and it needs to be revered. It really does. Not to be taken lightly. I mean, people will revere money, certainly, right? Hold on to it tightly and protect it at all costs, right? And the shift, it has to happen. You know, people have to move into this space, and it's going to happen. And unfortunately, because humanity is what it is, it's going to take the collapse or near collapse of a lot of the things that, you know, the society just functions on in order for people to wake up and see what's really going on. What's really important here? You know, at the end of the day, doesn't matter what you do for a job. Doesn't matter how much money you've got, you know, when you exit the world. Or is the important thing how you functioned in the world, right? I mean, we're here. We have an opportunity to live exalted, exhilarating, beautiful lives. And almost no one is taking advantage of that magic, right? And that's exactly what it is. So if you are living in your heart and you are functioning from that space, the universe is going to bring you everything that you desire. Now, remember, that desire is the will of God. That's not a personal desire. It's not me saying, oh, I want $2 million. It's not that. It's what the heart desires, right? And the magic of the universe will absolutely be in support of that. And you can't even imagine what could be in store for you, you know, what you as God will do through God that will manifest as your life, right? It's meant to be precious and beautiful and amazing. But people can't walk that when they're living in the space of, it's all about me. I have to protect myself. You know, I have to guard against others. I have to do my best to come out on top over others. You know, as long as we're sitting there, we will just continue to perpetuate the pain and all of these things that are just so horrendous, you know, to look at and heartbreaking in this world. And it just doesn't have to be that way. All right. So maybe enough of that sermon, you think? Is that enough?
I'm sure we'll revisit it a few weeks down from now.
Most likely. Okay, so let's do something. We started, when we started these programs back in November, I think it was, getting into what the actual work is that we do. And there actually is work we do here. I spoke with one of my students earlier today, and she had a question. She's been a student of mine for some time, but it's been a while since, because I stopped working one-on-one with people, and it's been a while since she really sat down and did what we would call a process. And she had forgotten kind of the steps that are taken. So I thought I would take a few minutes tonight and address that, so that for those of you who have listened from the beginning, who felt like we maybe dropped off at a certain place and were interested in beginning to take this to the next step, to give you something to begin moving with. All right, so here's what the work is, okay? There's a certain level of our work that we call processing work. And this is the opportunity for you to actually slow down the process of mind in order to be able to view into it and see what it's comprised of. All right. Because the lower mind, something that you are familiar with as ego, has, it is what we call patterned consciousness. All right. It is not conscious. It is a program, and this program is very specific, and this program runs for everybody because there's only one program, and there's only one personality out there. It just appears as 7 billion personalities, but it's only one. It is singular, just as your divine nature is singular. The lower mind is singular, all right? In the act of processing, what we do is we take a situation that has occurred that has triggered you. Now, triggering can happen on the negative side, and it can happen on a positive side. Usually, it's easier for people to work the negative side first. Not many people get triggered on positive. You might. I'm taking jabs at Peonia. Okay, so she's laughing. I always get triggered when someone loves me. I hate that. Oh, okay. Remember, it's supposed to be fun. There's a lot of laughter when you do deep spiritual work. Okay. You take something that triggers you, okay, such as being cut off in traffic. That's all it could take. Or stubbing your toe, like, you know, or you look outside and it's raining, whatever. You take something that triggers you, and then what you're going to do first is you're going to sit down with a pen or pencil and a piece of paper, preferably a whole notebook, and write about what happened, all right? Now, you can write it from a reporter's point of view, which is very objective, or you can write it from your personal point of view, which is quite colorful, I'm sure. Okay. So you get it all down on paper. And there is a reason that we handwrite it. We handwrite it because the mind moves so quickly that you will not experience a tenth of what's going on there unless you slow it down. And the perfect way to slow down the mind is to write using your hand, because you can only write so fast. You can type really fast, but handwriting is not a fast process, and it forces you to slow it down, all right? I don't let my students start typing things until they are well underway in their work, just because of this reason. You have to train the mind to do this, all right? Remember, the mind is in complete resistance to all of it in the beginning, so we have to be, you know, we have to be very diligent on how we train it. Okay, it's a mad little monkey. So, okay, you've written it down. Now I would ask for you to go in, and there's, you know, there are kind of different ways that I do this, so I'm just going to give you a rough idea tonight. I'd ask you to go in, and I would ask you to look for the roles that were played out. Now remember, we talked about the three basic roles being the role of the victim, the role of the perpetrator, and then the role of the savior. And so I would ask someone, okay, now I want you to go in, I want you to tell me who played what. And did it change? Because you may find that one person started as one thing, and then by the end of what happened, they had taken on a different role, right? And that's all very valid and needs to be seen. I'm also going to ask you to write down the states of mind that you moved through the course of what happened, okay? And when people have a hard time, what's the state of mind? You could think of that as emotional states. That's probably an easier way for people to think of it. So you may experience anger is a state of mind, right? Betrayal would be a state of mind. Abandonment, all right? Hope would be a state of mind. Peace would be a positive state of mind. You get the idea. So that's what we're looking for. I'm looking for the states of mind that were experienced. And that's the piece that is really key, because as I said to you, when consciousness fell, all of these states of mind came into being, one right after the other. So they actually came in an order, and that order never changes. It never changes. It's always the same in every exact situation, everyone. Okay. So the more you start doing this and slowing it down and really, really looking, okay, so what was the first thing that happened? You know, and then I just witnessed that. Oh, okay. And then what happened after that? And you're training the mind to go in and to replay it. And remember, the past doesn't exist. And so whenever you pull up memory, it's actually now. All right. So for people who are new to the work, the sooner you can pull it up, the better, because the energy is fresh and you'll be able to get into it a lot better. After you've been very diligent with your work for some time, you can actually have something occur, and then you could go back a week later and you could pull that same energy up because it'll be current and present now, and then you could get into it as deeply. But in the beginning, you want to attack these things right when they happen. So you're looking for the states of mind. You get as many of those down as you can, okay? Then the next step I want you to look for is I want you to look for judgment. So how did you judge, say, the other person? Let's just say it's a two-person thing. How did you judge the other person? Things that you judged them for. You know, I said I thought he was lazy. I thought he was greedy, right? Whatever. And then I want you to look at how you judged yourself, all right? So underneath, during the course of the whole thing, you've judged yourself, and that judgment may have changed. It may have shifted on you too. And then I also want you to look for how the other person, how you perceive they would have judged you. Okay. Now maybe they actually said things where you knew how they judged you, but maybe not. And then it's your job to project out how they judged you. All right. You get all that down on paper. Okay. It's a lot of work. Each one's a lot of work. You could take one little thing that happened in 5 seconds and turn it into 10 pages on a piece of paper. It's crazy. Okay. After the judgments, now we want to start looking at the beliefs that the judgment supports. And remember, judgment doesn't come up other than to support an underlying belief. Okay. So if you judge someone in a certain way, you do it because you believe that potentially they should be a different way. So it makes you judge them this way. See what I'm saying? And that's what we're looking for. We're looking for ultimately the beliefs. But you can't just jump to the belief, because the mind is just too good at hiding what it doesn't want you to see anyway. That's why we use judgment to get to it, because it's pretty easy to find the judgment. Okay? So we're going to go in and do that, and then we're looking for the beliefs. What you normally end up seeing at the end of the day, when you've seen the beliefs, and that, okay, then you see your beliefs, and then I want you to look for where they came from, because you learned them. Those beliefs were not innate to you just because you were born. Okay, you learned them. So where did you learn them? Usually you'll be able to track it to a parent. Okay. And usually when you do this work, you'll find a specific situation is going to present itself to you. It'll be a memory of something that happened when you were a kid, usually. And it's like, ooh, that was it. That was the moment it got patterned. It was like, it got programmed right then. It was imprinted. Choom. Right. Okay. And this is one of the beauties of the work, is that when you start to see where it gets picked up, then that starts to show you how, when I say patterned consciousness, that's really what I'm talking about. It gets patterned, and then, you know, the patterned consciousnesses that had the little baby now pass it on to the little baby, and it just keeps going and going and going. And this is what you start to see by doing that. It's beautiful. You really, really start to see it. It never was your belief, truly. You just learned it. And you just went on with life as if that was the way it was supposed to be. I mean, how did you know any different? It's very innocent, right? It's very innocent. And then we all want to be really angry with our parents when it happens and we see what we learned. And started doing. But don't be angry with them, because they were just as innocent too, you know, as babies and little kids. They just picked up what their parents did and went on with life as if it was normal and natural, right? Okay. Then, ultimately, when you've seen the beliefs, you've seen all these judgments, right? You begin to see that the way that you judge the other and the way you think the other have judged you, they seem to be like polar opposites. You'll see it. And the beautiful thing is now you can take this knowledge into meditation with you, and you need to see that you are both, right? You hold one side, and you'll already know that I believe this to be true. But what you can't witness is that you actually believe the opposite to be true. You've just been repressing it. Okay? Then you can see where you've actually been that. And of course you've been that. You have to have been that. You're all things. You're that too. And then you get to see that you've been that. When you can be honest and objectively say, oh my gosh, I have been that, whatever it is, now you have the puzzle pieces ready to put together. Now when you take that into meditation and you can say that I have been this, and then the opposite is this, and you can own both. I mean, emotionally, really own them, right? Because one side you feel good about, one side you don't feel good about. That side that you don't feel good about, you need to go in and feel it. See the pain that it puts on other people. Feel what it must be to be on the receiving end of that, right? And it hurts. And that's okay. You need to confront this stuff, right? You see both, owning them. You take it into meditation. You call forward that violet flame, that transmuting flame. And what I want you to do is to bring those polar opposites together, and you ask that they be transmuted back into their divine state. Okay? Because you are neither of them. You can't be one. You can't be the other. And you're not a combination of both. You're neither of them, because the divine is not personal. The divine does not hold any of it. Okay? You understand what I'm saying? Right? It's not kind, and it's not, you know, angry. It's neither of them. Those are all things that have been labeled here and turned into something that's just energy that never needed to be anything more than that. And that's the piece that literally starts to reprogram the neural net in the brain, which is the thing that's running the show right now, is your neural net. It was programmed, okay? And that goes through the process. All right, so very quickly, that is a process. And, you know, we used to do these workshops here in Charlotte, and we're thinking of opening them up for people who are interested in actually learning how to really process so they can start doing deeper work. So if anyone is interested in potentially doing that, please just shoot us an email at shasada@theshambhalacenter.org would be fine, just so we could get a gauge on that. All right, very good. Good program tonight. We're going to do our closing meditation now, and tonight let's just work on holding the space of the heart, okay? Get in there, feel it, and just hold it for the length of that song. We love you so very deeply. Thank you so much for joining us, and we'll see you next week. Ashucha Keshava Shivadha Madhava Jaya Jaya Vrindavaneshvara Ashucha Keshava Shivadha Madhava Jaya Jaya Vrindavaneshvara Ashucha Keshava.